The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Well, good morning. I can't really recognise faces. Those lights are bright, aren't they, Andrew? Some time ago, many moons ago now, David and I were part of a small group which consisted of people from different denominations. And in our group were a couple, a married couple, who were pastors of another church. And when we met, I really respected them and admired them and liked them. They were our friends. But in our group was a wife of whose husband was very, very unwell. And so every time we came together, we would pray for healing for her husband. But one night after our session finished, one of the pastors came up to me and very politely, tactfully, but certainly with some authority, said, "Whenever you pray for healing, you must pray with the words, 'If it is your will,' because no one knows the will of God when it comes to healing. And because if you're not praying with those words, you are being presumptuous, and presumption is a sin." Now, that really hit me. I struggled with his comments, and particularly I think maybe because they were directed at me, and yet I wanted to know the truth. It wasn't as if I had never prayed for healing before and I hadn't used those words. There are a couple of occasions that I can remember up to that time that I'd prayed for people who were healed instantly, or one straight away and one within 24 hours. And I certainly hadn't prayed, "If it is your will, Father, please bring healing." But I needed to sit on those words for a little while because I respected this man and his wife very much. And I thought, I wonder if there is some truth in that. So after some time, I guess when I was ready to think about it more closely, I began a study in the Word of God regarding God's will for healing and praying for healing. After all, I reasoned that if somebody came to me and asked me to pray for their lost glasses that were needed, I wouldn't have to say, "If it's your will, Father, please find those glasses." Or if I was praying for my family members, my brother or sister and their families who aren't Christian, I wouldn't have to say, "Lord, if it's your will, please help them to come into the kingdom." That would be a given. So why would I need to pray with this doubt that I had to say, "If it's your will," before I prayed for people for healing? It was sort of counterintuitive. And that word "if" put a doubt in my mind, for briefly anyway, for my desire and heart to begin to pray for people if I didn't really know what God's will was in that area. So I began that journey slowly at first, and it taught me a lot of other things about healing. And I want to share those things with you. And I know a lot of you do pray with those words, "If it is your will," and I'm no way putting you down. This was my journey, okay? My journey. So before I actually start on my first little point, I want to ask you a question. How many of you know the meaning of your name? Put your hand up if you know the meaning of your name. Okay, keep them up. Please keep them up. If you can say without any hesitation, "The name my parents chose for me is the exact representation of who I am." So there are a few of you. Okay, but not many. Not many. Our parents have chosen our names, sometimes because it sounded good, sometimes they knew the meaning and they just liked that meaning. At other times they chose them, in the case of my nephew, chose a name for his daughter because it was non-gender and she was called Harper. I think that's an interesting reason to choose a name. But it can be because a name rolls off our tongue really well or goes with a second name. But when it comes to the Old Testament and the New, names that were given by parents to their children were very significant. For example, sometimes children were named for the characteristic that they were born with. So I have two dictionaries, Bible dictionary, and one tells me that Esau was named Red. Red and hairy. That's right. Red and hairy. And another dictionary just says he was named, the meaning of that name Esau was hairy. So I gather when Esau was born, he had a lot of hair. And possibly that hair was red, but I suspect it probably means he just had a very ruddy complexion. Sometimes babies were called by their parents because of the significance of that birth. And we know when Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, finally gave birth to that little baby boy after years of barrenness, she named him John, and then it was confirmed by her husband Zechariah, even though the relatives and friends that were there say, "Why John? There's no one in your family named John. Why are you calling him John?" But John means God has been gracious. So it was a name given for a very significant reason. Sometimes babies were named with a hope that the child would grow into that name. It was a prophetical act. That there was a name in the Bible elsewhere that was very, very important. And so those babies were named in the hope that it was a prophetical act that that child would grow into that meaning of the name. So if names were so important to parents in choosing the right name, how much more important would it be when our Heavenly Father calls himself a specific name? When Moses was just about to begin his ministry and he met with God and God gave him a message and told him to just go back to Israel and release those who were held captive by Pharaoh, and Moses said, "Who will I say sent me?" And he said, "Tell them I am sent you." And that was the first name that we hear that was given by God to refer to himself. I am. I am who I am. But the next name that was revealed about the Father's name, again, when he spoke to Moses, he gave them the name. He said, "I am the Lord who heals you." And the meaning for that, heals you, or I am the Lord who heals you, is the word Rapha. And Rapha has several meanings. You can see it on the screen. It means to cure, to heal, to repair, to mend, and to restore to health. Years ago, if you're part of the Old Rangeville Church in High Street, you might remember we had an elder, she was a senior lady then, she had been a missionary in China for some time, and at one stage she became very unwell, so unwell that she said she had to be put into a hospital, if you could call it a hospital at that particular time. This was years ago. And as she was lying very unwell in her bed, at one stage she saw across her from her bed to the wall opposite, she saw the words appear, "I am the God who heals, and I will." And he did. And I always remember that story because with Irene, she saw and recognised the faithfulness of God, his love for her, his desire to see healing, and she was healed by her faithful and loving God. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we certainly see examples of God healing people. But it's not really until we come to the New Testament that we see the fullness of his heart and mercy for healing as he worked through his son Jesus. When Peter, on the day of Pentecost, addressed the crowd of Israelites who were there, because the city was full at that stage, he gave these words, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by God, how? Through miracles, signs and wonders, which God did through him, as you yourselves know." God worked through Jesus in bringing healing, miracles, signs and wonders. And again, Peter in Acts 10:36 said, "You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed, for God was with him." He went about doing good, for God was with him, healing those who were oppressed. Now, how did that look? How did his going and doing good look? How did the ways that Satan, the devil, had oppressed look? So if we exclude the number of times that we see how Jesus ministered to those who were suffering under oppression from spirits, impure spirits or other spirits, a third of the Bible, a third of the New Testament or the Gospels is full of the way Jesus touched the lives of people through healing. A third. A third was with his teaching and preaching. A third was with healing people from demonic spirits. So I want us to have a look at just a tiny few verses that show the goodness of Jesus, the work of God through him, and how people who were oppressed were set free. Matthew 4:23-24. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing, what? Every disease and sickness among the people. That's a lot. News about him spread all over Syria, and guess what? People brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralysed, and what? He healed them. Matthew 8:16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out spirits with a word and healed them. Matthew 11:2-5. When John, who was in prison, this is John the Baptist, when John was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news of the kingdom is proclaimed to the poor." Doing good, healing those who were oppressed. But one of the most telling verses, I think, showing the will of God to heal through Jesus, happened when Jesus was approached by a leper. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him, now how? On his knees. He was desperate. Begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now look at those words next. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched him and said, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Why was Jesus indignant? He wasn't indignant because this leper had interrupted perhaps his lunch, or a meeting with the apostles or disciples, or he was busy doing something else. Jesus was indignant with the fact that this man had to actually ask him if he was willing. It was like, I'm willing. Why do you need to ask? I am willing to bring healing to your body. And he did. God working through Jesus to bring healing and wholeness to those who were oppressed by the devil. I think that showed me very, very clearly that God has a heart and a will to see people healed, and we can be part of that through our prayers. But what about the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit? Is there anything that we can learn about the Holy Spirit's will for healing? I'll go back, sorry. I haven't got it. Sorry, yeah, I do. 1 Corinthians, now this is just a praise from 1 Corinthians 12, and Paul was speaking here. He said, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the Spirit distributes them. Now, to each one of the manifestation, the Spirit is given, how or why? For the common good. And then he goes on. For one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, and then he goes on. These are the other gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians. Prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the one, all of the work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them just as he determines. Now I wonder if you saw what I saw. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to the believers, to the community, for the common good, and two of those gifts are the gift of healing and the gifts of miraculous powers. The Holy Spirit gives those and determines just to whom they will go. But the fact that he gives the spiritual gifts of healing and miracles, two power gifts, shows me that the Holy Spirit himself is very, very active when it comes to his heart for healing. Healing the oppressed. So when I got back to thinking about what my pastor friend had said, I no longer doubted that perhaps he was right. I began to think I can pray with absolute faith for healing because it is God's will to see people healed and restored. Now, to be honest, I don't, even though I've seen a lot of people healed, I don't think I have the spiritual gift of healing. I pray for a lot of people. It's my heart to pray for people who are unwell or who are sick. I pray for a lot of people, and therefore I think it's because I pray for a lot of people I see people healed. But for some of you, you will have been given the spiritual gift of healing, maybe even the spiritual gift of miraculous powers. But I haven't seen a lot of evidence of that in this church. And I think for some of you, you're tentative to pray as I was, because you don't want to go against God's will. You don't know if God will use you. You haven't been taught that it is his will for healing. And that gift, that spiritual gift of healing, is still yet to be discovered. And it is really my heart's desire that God, through the Holy Spirit, will reveal to you his heart for healing through you in releasing a spiritual gift of healing. Sometimes it's called spiritual gifts of healing, and other times it's referred as gift of healings. When we come to pray for healing, I'm really encouraging you, if you've never stepped out that way, to give it a go, because until you step out, you may not know that this gift is manifest. It's still hidden away and latent. I would encourage all of you to say, okay, I will give it a go in praying for healing. Just as a matter of interest too, and I'm putting a little plug in, but in the reasonably near future, we will be running a course on healing. At the moment, David and I are having our house renovated, so I can't start that until the renovations are done. But some of you might be more interested in knowing about healing, about how to pray more fully, about the work of the Holy Spirit, and giving you opportunities to grow in knowing about healing. So keep your eye open for that when those brochures come out. All right. So how do I know it's God's will for healing from what we've just said? Well, the names that God gives himself, Rapha. The many, many works that God did through Jesus, his son, to demonstrate his desire for healing. Jesus himself declared his willingness to heal. And the Holy Spirit gives those gifts and miracles for the common good. Now, the second point I want to raise today when it comes to praying for healing is not just knowing the will of God, but in knowing and understanding the authority that we have been given. Years ago, One Saturday morning, I woke up and I just had this impression that I was to go to this certain bookshop in Toowoomba. And at that stage, I think there were four or five Christian bookshops. But I had this impression to go to this particular bookshop. And I asked David if he wouldn't mind looking after the children, who were obviously quite young at that stage. But David, bless him, thought it might be a really good idea to actually go down to this bookshop together, so that after I'd found my book with my name on it, we could do something as family. Now, I have to admit, I wasn't too sure about that. And the experience of going down with the family wasn't particularly ideal, because how do you go about finding a book when you don't know what you're really looking for and you're acting on an impression? You have no idea whereabouts in this bookshop, because it's even unfamiliar to you. And the experience wasn't the best. Nothing was standing out, and I was all walking along, looking and looking and looking, and I'm hoping, I'm saying, Lord, please let it drop to my feet. Or let it just be on a shelf by its own. What am I looking for? And the kids were starting to get a little bit frustrated. And one of them said, Mum, what's it called? And I said, I don't know. Okay. Mum, what's it about? I don't know. And then my youngest, Sarah, who was not quite reading very well at that stage, asked a very logical question and said, Mum, what colour is it? Bless her. Very reasonable question. And I could tell I couldn't stay in that shop for much longer. The frustration levels were rising. And finally, as I was about to call it quits and say, well, I obviously didn't hear right, my eldest daughter came up with me with a book. She placed it in my hands and she said, Mum, is this the book? And I didn't even have to look at the title to know that it was. It was just, she put it in my hands and I knew. And when I looked at the title, it was a book on healing. I don't remember too much about that book when I read it, because like many of my books, they've gone astray and I've lost them. But I do remember one story in that book that has stayed with me for years and years and years. It was about a team from Australia that went to a country where they needed to get a translator in case they had any language barriers. And as this team, they advertised that it would be a time of healing for anyone that needed to be prayed for healing. And the leader was going to give a short message on the gospel and about the Lord Jesus. And then it was going to be handed over to the team for people to come forward and be prayed for. And it began disastrously. When they called for people to come through, to come forward for healing, and the team began to pray for them, nothing happened. No one was being healed. And the mood in that hall began to change. First of all, the team were getting frustrated. No one was being touched or ministered to by the Lord. No one was being healed. And the mood was changing from expectation to frustration to even a sense that anger was rising. And suddenly the translator came forward and he said to the team, "Excuse me, but when you pray to Jesus, which Jesus are you referring to? Because in this room," I wasn't sure if he said in this room or in this town, "there are many people by the name of Jesus. Which Jesus are you referring to when you say, in the name of Jesus?" And it was then the penny dropped. They began to pray using the words that Peter had prayed when we find the first miracle in the book of Acts by one of the apostles. He and John were coming to the temple gate called Beautiful. They were going into the temple at the time of prayer, which was about 3 p.m. And at the same time they were going about to enter through that temple gate, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to beg for money. And as he saw Peter and John come towards him, he put out his hand, expecting money. He was begging for everything he needed to survive. And Peter looked at him, as did John, and then Peter commanded him to look at them. "Look at us," said Peter. And the man gave them his full attention, expecting to get something. And what did Peter say? "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you freely." And here are the words: "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And they were the words that the team began to use as they began to pray again for healing. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed." And guess what? People were receiving healing for all types of things. Now, why was that so? We need to continue the rest of that story to find out why, what was the difference between how they first prayed and how they then prayed. The team understood something that Peter and John also understood, and all the apostles understood. They had been given authority by the Lord Jesus to speak his name. They'd been given that power of attorney to speak his name into the lives of other people. And the team knew that as well. And as soon as they changed their prayer time to in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, those miracles of healing began. But they knew, as I said, something else about that way they prayed. So let's go back to that story of Peter and John. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? We can't. It's not in us. It's not our power or godliness that has made this man walk." And he continues, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that he's been completely healed, as you can all see." The apostles knew that. The team knew that. And healing came about. When I pray for healing, I know I cannot heal anyone. I know there is another dimension to healing, and it's not through me, but through my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the authority that he has given me to pray for those who need healing. He gave them that power and authority. Whoops, I will go back. He gave them that power and authority. Jesus gave it first to the apostles or the disciples when he sent them out into the towns and villages as a practical experience. He said, "Go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons." That was their first experience of doing it on their own. And they got to know the power and the authority of that name. And then when Jesus, after he was resurrected, but he met with the disciples again, he said to them, and he gave them what we call the Great Commission from Matthew 28, "All authority on earth, in heaven and earth, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." They were given that commission to go and pray and make disciples and teach the disciples to do everything that Jesus had given to them and commanded them to do, including praying for the sick. And you know what? We are those disciples today, generations on. We are those disciples. We have been given that authority and power in the name of Jesus to pray for those who are oppressed and for those who are desperately in the need to see the Father's heart and the Father's love and the Father's will for healing. So if we were to summarise all of this, it is his will for healing, so we can approach healing with the expectation, an expectation where we recognise that God still heals today. We can pray for that expectation that today, as we pray for someone else, it might be the day that that person is healed. And they see the demonstration of God's love and his heart, mercy and compassion. The name of Jesus is still the greatest name that ever was. His name is the name above all names. And I want to say this, his name is greater than any name that has been given to a disease or sickness. His name is greater than any disease or sickness. We, along with the apostles and that team from Australia, have been given the same authority to use his mighty and precious name. I'm encouraging you today that if you've never thought about praying for healing, or you've had doubts about your ability to pray for healing, or what your prayers could actually mean to someone else, I encourage you to step out in faith. Look around you. There are people out there with such great needs. rise to the challenge. You never know if you have that spiritual gift of healing and your fruitfulness would be so greater than any of ours that don't. But I know that even without the spiritual gift, I can pray for people and have an expectation without that spiritual gift that they can still be healed. And so I want to encourage you to go forth from this day in praying for at least one person during the week. I wonder what God might have been saying to you today about healing and what he might be calling you to do. And what will you do with what he might have said to you today? I'll give you some time just to think about that, and then I've got one last thing. Shortly, I feel that I'm meant to pray for you. I know there's prayer out here. The children aren't in today to pray for healing. So for that reason, I felt the Lord just say, release healing power and pray for you. There'll still be people available, though, for prayer. So make the most of them to pray for your needs. Before I pray, though, I want to read you a little devotional that I found in April by Joseph Prince. Some of you might have heard his name mentioned. I've changed the devotional a little bit just to reflect what this message was about, but it's part of my prayer for you. And it's entitled, See His Supply. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. It must have drawn many looks, some curious, some sympathetic, and possibly some of disgust. But when Jesus had looked around them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and that hand was restored as whole as the other. For the owner and all who saw it, the healing of the withered hand must have spelled challenging, difficult, and very likely impossible. But when others saw that withered hand, Jesus saw only God's supply of healing and wholeness available to that man. And that's why he said to him, stretch out your hand. Jesus didn't see the lack that other people saw. He only saw the Father's superabundant supply of grace all over that withered hand. He saw the Father's heart to heal and bless that man. And today, as I pray, don't focus on your pain or the symptoms or the doctor's negative report. Whether it's an aching back, an ailing heart, barren womb, see his healing power enveloping your body. See his grace supplying the health you need. For that's our God. Now, before I pray, I just want to ask you, if you receive healing today, would you do two things? Would you make sure you give thanks to the Father for healing? He's the one that has supplied it. Give him thanks. If you receive healing today, and I'm not talking in faith, am I? When you receive healing today, would you make sure that you supply somebody with a testimony? Tell somebody about what happened. Tell them of who you were and what you are now, how that healing has come about. Perhaps write it down and put it in the box at the back of the auditorium. There is great power in sharing testimonies of healing. For when we share testimonies of healing, God's power goes out in another way, and people who are suffering the same ailments that you might have had take that upon themselves, and they're healed of that same ailment. Great power in the power of the testimony. So give thanks and share your testimony. Would you, if you are willing to be prayed for, place your hands out as a faith symbol to receive what God has to give to you today? Or perhaps place your hand on that area of your body that needs healing? Or if you're simply praying for somebody else that you know needs that healing, stretch out your hands. Let's come to our Father. Father, your word often declares about stretching out your arm, stretching out your hand. It's a power thing. And people are here waiting to receive. They're expectant to be touched by healing. For we know it is your heart and desire and compassion and mercy and will to see those who have been in a state of oppression come out of that. We've heard the stories of how Jesus, your son, through you, healed so many, healed all who came to him, gave them hope for the future if their bodies were healed and restored. You don't change, Father. Your name declares that. You are Rapha. You were Rapha when you declared it, and you are Rapha now. Our Lord Jesus has never changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power is the same. But his name is the name above all other names. The name in heaven and earth and below the earth. His name is above all other names. And Jesus, I declare again that your name is greater than any name that has been given to man regarding sicknesses and disease. Your name is greater than a coronary disease. Your name is greater than cerebral palsy. Your name is greater than Parkinson's disease. Your name is greater than any word that has been placed on these people here that define what they supposedly have, because they have been defined by human names and not by whom you are. So I come to you now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, with faith that I believe is now a little bit greater than it was when I first began to pray for healing, greater than that little grain of mustard seed that can speak to a mountain, in this case, the mountains of sickness and disease. I pray in the faith of your name, Lord Jesus, and with the authority I believe you have given to me because I am your disciple, that all of those who have come to you with arms outstretched might be ministered to you in a mighty and beautiful way, and that there will be healings today. There will be testimonies to be shared. Those testimonies will lead to other testimonies as your power is released through those testimonies. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you have shown us through your word. I thank you for your heart. I thank you that you don't say no. And I bless each person here in Jesus' name with all that you have for them. Amen. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.